Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
One day, some of the kids from the neighborhood carried my mother's groceries all the way home. You know why? It was out of respect.
This is Dirt and Spray.
The most important thing in business is honesty, integrity, hard work, family. Never forgetting where we came from. See, you are what you are in this world. That's either one or two things. Either you're somebody or you're nobody.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Spray.
A month from now, this Hollywood big shot's going to give you what you want.
Too late. They start shooting in a week.
I'm going to make him an offer again with you.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Me, I always tell a truth, even when I lie. So say goodnight to the bad guy. Come on, last time you're going to see a bad guy like this again.
The Fan.
Let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app. Live on YouTube. We're every single day.
Magic Johnson.
Happy opening day, everybody. Hope your Thursdays are off to a great start. According to my sources, I believe Brendan Sprague will be back on the show tomorrow, although no confirmation
has been
made.
We've not had an official word. We got the photo there when he first got there, and he's like, I'm never leaving this place.
It's never happening. I'm not coming back. So we're looking for a new co-host. If you want to apply, send your applications in. Sprague's gone. No, he should be back tomorrow. We'll see, though. I told him, dude, why come back from one? You got to wake up at 4 a.m. on Friday? Who wants to do that? You already take 3 days off this week. What's one more day? But time will tell if he shows up tomorrow morning. We'll find out. Sweet 16 tips off today. Very excited about that. We didn't talk about it earlier this week. Cal Raleigh signed a nice little extension with the Mariners.
Yeah, 6 years, 100 and some odd million.
Very team-friendly contract for the Seattle Mariners. Cal Raleigh seems like a genuinely good dude. He has the best nickname potentially in all of sports, if not Mount Rushmore of current nicknames.
Current nicknames. That's nothing better than the Big Dumper.
I mean, the Big Dumper is just, it's as good as it could possibly get. The details on the extension were interesting. So he gets a $10 million signing bonus. His base salary for this year is $1 million. Next year's base salary is 11. In 27, it goes to 12. In 28, it goes to 23. 29, it goes to 23. 30 is still at 23. And then the last year of the deal, 2031, he has a $20 million vesting player option with a $2 million buyout. So cheap up front, relatively affordable for a guy who hits dingers and has a big dumper. Like to see the batting average come up a little bit.
He's a good backstop.
He's a very good defensive catcher. And so that one made a lot of sense for Seattle in order to lock down. Do the Mariners make the playoffs this year, Jason Swigard?
Yeah, I'm going to say. I don't know if they'll win the division. I think they grab a wild card spot.
The division is interesting to me because I don't know. Like, Houston is going to be good again. Houston's good every year.
I think the Rangers are going to win the division.
The Rangers, to me, are the absolute wild card in that division. They won the World Series 2 years ago.
I know.
They didn't lose. I mean, they still had
Scherzer's gone, right?
Scherzer, I believe, is gone.
He went somewhere else. I forgot where.
He's a giant.
He's a giant.
Yeah,
that's right.
Scherzer's a giant. No, he's not a giant. Where the hell is Max Scherzer? Why am I getting who's Kate Upton's gal?
Oh, that's Verlander.
Verlander, thank you. Verlander's a giant. Scherzer is currently with the Toronto Blue Jays.
That's right.
I got my old 40-year-old pitchers mixed up. So he is no longer there. But I do look at them from 2 years ago winning a championship and then last year falling off the face of the cliff a little bit. The hangover hit you. And, you know, injuries can happen, pile up. They only won 78 games last year. They, to me, are the outlier. Like, that's the biggest question mark I have. I know the Astros will be relevant because they are every year, it seems like, despite guys coming and going. The Astros find a way to win 85 to 90 games every year. The Angels are going to be a tire fire. And the A's are just the A's. Like A's don't intimidate you in any way, shape, or form. The Rangers, to me, are the one question mark there in the American League West. But that was the worst division in baseball last year. 88 wins won the division. The Mariners only ended up 3.5 games behind the Astros for the American League West championship.
I think the Mariners will win more games this year. I think it'll take more than 90 to win the division.
Interesting.
But I think the Rangers will put it back together.
Okay. I think the other part about them making the playoffs, too, that you have to take into consideration is what
the AL Central stinks.
The AL, like, what do you get out of the AL Central? So last year, the AL Central had three playoff teams last year.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, the Guardians win the division at 92 wins. The Royals and the Tigers both got in at 86 wins. That's all it took. The Mariners were a game out of the wild card.
And the AL East will be better. The Red Sox are better. The Blue Jays are better. The Orioles should be right there. So I think you'll get two wild card teams out of the AL East.
Okay.
I think the Yankees could finish fourth, quite frankly.
Oh.
And I think you'll get the other one out of the West.
Okay. All right. That's a fair assessment. The over-unders are out for Major League Baseball, too. Actually, we got some in the NFL as well, which we'll talk about tomorrow on the show.
I will do that tomorrow.
Those are just delightful to do. The odds are interesting when you look at, you know, teams and thoughts on over-unders. Dodgers, I believe, have the highest over-under at 103.5 at some places.
Yeah.
Some places have it at 105.5.
It's crazy to think about, but at the same
point, it's doable for them. They didn't last year. They won 98 last year, but Ohtani's back at some point.
The
pitching
rash of injuries to their starting rotation was ridiculous.
The Mariners over-under in most places is either 84.5 or 85.5. So essentially exactly who they were last year.
I would take the over on them.
Okay.
I think they get close to 90. I don't know if they get all the way to 90, but okay.
You trust the offense that you saw at the end of the last year?
Yeah.
Is that the theory here?
Certainly the approach will be changed. They've had an entire spring to kind of understand that, and they just need to strike out far less. Keep the ball in play. You know, let's get some sack flies and advance some runners, and you're just going to get more runs out of that. And it doesn't have to come down. You don't have to put so much damn pressure on your bullpen every night.
And not every game has to be 3-2, 2-1, 4-3.
Yeah.
It's okay to win one, 8-7, 8-4.
Yeah.
It's okay to put a little crooked number up every now and then. I have a hard time with their offense just because I don't know.
It's not going to be a juggernaut.
No, it's not going to be a juggernaut. I also just, like, sometimes we do this where we assume one thing that happened last year will continue and trend into the next season, and it doesn't always transpire that way. And so I do think having a Rosarena for an entire year will help them offensively. Like, that's a big boost for them. He came over at the deadline. He's not a dominant player by any stretch of the imagination, but he's better than a lot of the other crap that they've had in their lineup the last 2 to 3 years. So having him for an entire year, I do think will be helpful. We know they have one of the best pitching staffs and rotations in all of Major League Baseball. As long as those guys stay healthy, they're going to be in the majority of the games that they play. I just am not going to quite go with look at where averages and runs scored per game were in the last 30 games of the season, when half the teams you're playing are just, just trying to run out the clock, man, and you're getting, you know, expanded rosters, and you're not seeing number one guys. There's some games against the A's that are mixed in there. Like, it's really hard to say, well, in the last 30 to 40 games of the season, you did this, therefore it will extend into this year. I think they can make the playoffs. Obviously, the American League, the wild card race will be interesting. 86 wins was good enough to get in last year. Maybe it is again this year. They won 85.
I just think by the mere fact they won't be striking out so much.
Are we sure about that? I mean,
I think so.
Yeah,
I trust Edgar to get these guys, have a different approach at the plate. It's like, look, if you're a power hitter, go up there. If you can get ahead in the count, get an early pitch, you want to swing for the fences, fine.
Yeah.
But once you get to two strikes, we got to keep the thing turning over.
I think it'll be one of the interesting things to watch for them in the first month of the year is what does their offense look like? Not that the first month is the tell all for
but
how the entire season's going to go.
If they go from, I think they were below three most of, or like just over three runs a game most of the year last year. If they can get it to four,
close to four,
just over four, that will be enough to get three or four more wins.
Yes,
the regular season.
They were one win away from going to the playoffs last year, so the margin is very thin for them. It'll be curious to see where they go. I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in their offense because they have not shown me any reason to have faith. I have faith in their pitching staff that's going to keep them in every game this year. And then it largely comes down to what we've seen from them in years past. When you're playing games and you're running your organization on the margins, it comes down to I mean, to be fair, luck and bounces.
Health.
It's just health. I mean, you're playing so many one-run games because you can't score a lot of runs, and so you're leaning on your pitching staff for the entirety of the year. In some years, the balls bounce your way, and that one hit goes foul or it goes fair, and it means a difference in a win or a loss, and that's the difference between winning or losing the division. It's a very, very thin margin. I do think they'll make the playoffs this year, though. I'll follow you on that, just because I don't know what to make of the rest of the American League. Rangers are a wild card to me in the AL West. Astros, I think, will be solid again, but, you know, AL Central is interesting.
And, yeah, I think the Yankees are ready to fall off a cliff.
The Yankees could be. Baltimore's dealing with injuries. I know you're high on them, but they're dealing with injuries. Yeah. The Red Sox are the trendy pick right now. They were a 500 team last year, but they got a lot of talent. I get it. They've improved their roster greatly. Toronto's dealing with this whole Vladdy Jr. thing where they can't get him to sign. They're trying to renegotiate a deal. He's saying no. He's going to hit free agency in the offseason. And Tampa's playing in a minor league facility all year. So, the rest of the American League is interesting to me. But it all begins today. We do have to make, in the closing segment, we'll make our World Series picks. We got to give our official hot picks. Who's going to win it all this year?
Yeah.
I know who you're going to take.
No mystery there.
And no mystery. Yeah. Cheating organization.
132 wins this year.
Is that how much you're paying? $132 million a game to pay your damn roster, you cheating bastard.
No,
let's talk
to
Andrew Nimmick coming up next on 1080 The Fan.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know. I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Take a break with Pelican's Beak Breaker, the Northwest's favorite double IPA. Pelican Brewing Company. Cheers, fellow fanatics.
Today's Daily Ticker, fueled by Pelican Brewing's Beak Breaker IPA with big hops, big flavor, a crisp finish. Beak Breaker is the perfect way to stay refreshed through every bracket-busting upset. Joining us now to talk about a couple of different things, recruiting and the NFL draft, is our good friend, Andrew Nimmick, at Andrew Nimmick on Twitter, director of recruiting high school on SI. You can hear his show every Thursday right here on The Fan, recruiting with Andrew Nimmick, right after primetime. Nimmick, good morning to you. When you get the good news or the bad news angle, you always want to go bad news first, and then we'll go to the good news. So, a concerning trend that some Duck fans are a little worried about, what's been going on losing decommitments, and especially to USC, as have the Trojans woken up, and should Duck fans be concerned about the trend?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little concerning. Oregon's dominated the state of California, and anytime they want guys, say, from modern day, they've been able to get them. Losing a four-star defensive tackle, one of the top defensive tackles in the West region, to a USC and also potentially splitting up that pipeline at a modern day is a little concerning. We've talked on my show. It's Thursday nights. You can catch it tonight at 7 p.m. right here on 1080 The Fan. We've talked about the fact that Washington and USC in particular were really slow to adapt to NIL. And people were like, can Kalen DeBoer even recruit? And I was like, he can recruit just fine. There's some issues with Washington and their NIL. USC, very similar stuff. They had some issues on defense. They weren't winning, and they were doing poorly with their NIL. Both those programs seem to have figured some things out in this last offseason. I think both on the field and in recruiting, they got slapped a little bit. And it was like, man, we have to jump on board. There's no excuses, and there's no fighting against what is the new era of college football. So what you're seeing right now is that USC has started to course correct on defense a little bit. I know they think they've kind of crossed the finish line in that regard, but I don't know that that's true, but they've certainly taken a step forward. And now their NIL is sorted. And rather than having infighting about NIL or trying to lowball kids and act like playing for Lincoln Riley is the greatest gift anyone can give someone, they're at least matching market. And once you're in USC and you have Los Angeles and the excitement, you know, there's a lot of reasons to like USC. If they go 10-2, 11-1 in the regular season this year, I think they'll hang on to that momentum. If, however, they have another 7-6 kind of season where they win a bad bowl game or something, I don't foresee this sticking around. So there's a lot of proof in the pudding this season. There's a lot on the line for USC this season, but certainly they figured out their NIL, and that's what you're seeing this spring.
Interesting. Well, that's the bad news for Oregon. Let's get to potentially the good news, depending on how it all turns out, although it could be more bad news. Number one quarterback in the country, according to a lot of different outlets, is this Jared Curtis kid. I believe he's out of Nashville, and he's been rumored to Oregon for a long time. He kind of whittled down his finalists to Georgia and Oregon. He teased a big announcement the other day, which ended up, I believe, being a commitment date, so we got to wait a little bit longer. But Dan Lanning battling against his former school in Georgia for the number one quarterback. This one's interesting to me, Nimick, just because of the way Oregon has handled that position, where they've recruited some nice players. None of them really played yet there. They've largely leaned on the transfer portal under Lanning. And again, this year, I know Dante Moore was a commit for a long time, but then went to UCLA, and he's a transfer as well. This seems like maybe the guy that could break that mold. I'm just curious your thoughts on Curtis, and when do we know a commitment date? What do we know about this number one quarterback in the country?
Well, Jared Curtis, let's start there. He's 6'3", 220 pounds. As a younger kid all the way through about middle school, he was actually kind of a bruising running back, and he still kind of has that running style a little bit. He ran for over 600 yards and 18 touchdowns last year, averaging 7 yards a carry. But throwing, he threw for 3,000 yards, 40 touchdowns, and only 3 interceptions. Gives you a good idea of why he's rated the number one player in the country. He was committed to Georgia and was committed for a long time. He opened things up, and when he did, it was very clear Georgia was still a team firmly in the running. But what was also very clear is that he opened it up in part because he was enamored with Oregon, and he really liked Oregon. And some other schools were in the mix for him, and he visited some other schools throughout the fall and into the early part of the year. And then it came down to Oregon and Georgia, and that kind of followed what everybody had thought from the beginning, that he'd really opened up his recruitment to check out Oregon. A couple weeks ago, he took an extended 4 or 5 day stay in Oregon. He went to the Oregon coast. I know people on social media joke that he got to the Oregon coast before Damian Lillard did. That was a big feather in his cap. Then he went to Georgia, and now he's kind of settling in, you know, with his camp, with his family, and going to make a decision on May 5th. As it stands right now, I think Oregon has a slight edge. I think anytime you open up your recruitment for one school in particular, that goes well. He likes Will Stein. He likes Dan Lanning. Those guys look to be staying for the foreseeable future. I think there's a lot of reasons to like Oregon. That said, I think it's a slight lead.
Yeah.
And I think Georgia's a little closer to home. And sometimes as things get closer, guys get itchy about going across the country and things change. I think leaving those two big visits, Oregon had the advantage. I don't think it was overwhelming, but I think they had the advantage. Time will tell if that will stay. If it doesn't, and he picks Georgia, Oregon fans shouldn't panic. They should just simply pivot to Ryder Lyons out of Folsom, California. He is a top 5 player in this class. He's the number 3 quarterback. This is a very, very good quarterback class. He's actually going to take an 18-month Mormon mission, so he won't join the class until 2027. But like Jared Curtis, he does fall in line with Oregon's timing in terms of whether it's Austin Novosad or Dante Moore. They'll have their plan. And you brought up a good point about Oregon not really wading into the 5-star waters. I think they haven't done that in the Lanning era because in the NIL era, which coincides with Lanning's start, it was the wild, wild west. And we saw this. We saw, you know, Nico Emoliave rumored to get close to $10 million. We saw Jaden Rashada. That paperwork full-on came out. We've seen it.
Right.
It was around $12 million. Oregon wasn't prepared to go into that and thought, let's get proven guys until we kind of know what this market is for 5-star players. And we'll get proven guys like Bo Nix and Dylan Gabriel we'll recruit that guy in the 10 to 20 range nationally at quarterback. If he pops, great. If he doesn't, we have depth. But let's not jump in with both feet until the market settles. Well, people have kind of figured out the quarterback market now. We kind of understand the budget for NIL and what a five-star costs at quarterback and corner and defensive tackle. And so Oregon's much more prepared to say, okay, maybe the NIL investment makes sense in a big-time quarterback if he fits our timeline and we really like him.
Interesting. We're talking with Andrew Nimick. You can hear him right here on The Fan tonight, 7 to 8 p.m. He's our recruiting insider, also director of recruiting high school on SI, on Twitter, at Andrew Nimick. Nobody follows the NFL draft closer in this building than you do, Nimick. I know you're glued to this, and you should almost have your own NFL draft show after the recruiting show, especially this time of year as we lead into it. Let me ask you on a local guy. Tez Johnson, 40 time in, at the combine, and then not running the 40 at his pro day. Deal or no deal for Andrew Nimick?
You know, if you're going to run a 4.5 at 154 pounds, don't do it again and show everybody that that's what you run. It's not a good look. I know that his actual miles per hour was much better. I know that his short shuttle was better. I know in some of the drills he was close to the number one receiver in the drill in terms of what speed he reached. So that's a good thing. What I keep saying to people who counter with, well, he was in the 90th percentile or 93rd percentile in the short shuttle or in some of the other drills. My response is he should be. That's baked into, you better be in the 98th percentile, 99th percentile in speed if you're in the literal 0th percentile all time in terms of size. There's a give and take, and if people think the combine proves something, it shouldn't. It should confirm your priors. It should confirm what you see on film. And if it doesn't, that's a concern. Not necessarily, you know, we all thought Tez was like a 4.37, 4.41 guy potentially. So the fact that he ran slower and he weighed in 4 pounds lighter than the Senior Bowl was actually a problem. That being said, if I'm in the fifth or sixth round and Tez Johnson's sitting there, and he can maybe return kicks for me and he can be a slot receiver and there's packages for him, I'd absolutely take the investment. Tez is a phenomenal football player, but it was wild to see him run a 4.5 and then stand on a 4.5 at the pro day and say, I'm not going to run it again. It's like, okay, you're linked to that 4.5 then. And I know, you know, I've listened to podcasts with some of the national experts who absolutely said, everyone thought he'd run fast, so the fact that he ran slow hurt him. There's no way around it. Still a good football player, but that was brutal.
Yeah, it's an interesting one for his weight to be that. To move. I think everybody was shocked when they saw that number because we all watch him play. He's fast. We know that he's fast. And then you see the 40 time, and you're like, wait, it just doesn't compute in my head. I saw an analyst the other day, I think it was Ryan Wilson or somebody, who was saying that Cam Ward's pro day was the most impressive pro day that he had ever seen. He said to the Titans GM after a throw, like, hey, I'm solidifying myself as the number one overall pick. Now, we don't know if the Titans will be drafting number one. I got a ticket on Abdul Carter just as a flyer because of the odds. I don't think I'm going to cash that ticket. I know you've had some bets on that as well. Your thoughts on Cam Ward? I have a mixed feeling on him. I clearly understand the potential. I have fears of the style of play and holding onto the ball too long, especially for a bad team and a bad offensive line. Where are you at on Cam Ward?
Yeah, I always think it's important, and this is something that the nerd in me always does. I always grade for a few years back. So where would Cam Ward be last year? And I would have had him right in the range of J.J. McCarthy. So he would have been, for me, he would have been behind Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
I had Michael Penix 2. I had Drake May 3. And I had Jaden Daniels 4. And I liked those guys. There was definitely a gap for me. And then it was kind of J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix. Mm-hmm. I would have him ahead of McCarthy, but he would have been probably my fifth quarterback last year. Now, that was a very good quarterback class. And we look at what happened with Bo Nix, who was outside that top four. He was still a good player. If you're desperate for quarterback and you can get a guy you can believe in for a few years, and that's kind of where I'm at with Cam Ward, I think you can invest in that, and the ceiling works if he hits it. If it doesn't, you obviously reset and it hurts your franchise, but he's got potential to figure it out and be a franchise quarterback. And if you've got nothing, if you've got no answer, just the guy that puts mayo in his coffee, I think you take that swing to normalcy. That being said, I find the whole pro day thing hilarious because I hated Zach Wilson and Mac Jones. I hated both those guys coming out. And Zach Wilson threw that ball like running the other way against his body to a receiver. He's really familiar with on air where there's no defense. and everybody went, he has to be the number, you know, he has to be the number two quarterback now because of that throw. And it's like, you guys, he's in shorts. there's
no pass rush.
There's nothing you could see in a pro day except bad.
Yeah.
Like, you could see bad, and you could see bad, like, just bad behavior, somebody acting terrible, being disrespectful to people, or just a noodle arm, or just missing his own receivers in his own building. Those are red flags. Beyond that, a pro day to me for a quarterback is mostly about interviews and just verifying in person, okay, the arm strength's exactly what we thought it was. I do think it's funny when people are like, the best pro day ever. It's like, what did he do? The firmest handshakes, the best eye contact. Like, we all saw him throw with against defenses. So you take the defenses away and he completed all his passes. I'm shocked.
Yeah. No pass rush, no secondary out there. He looked really good, man. If only NFL football was played that way, he'd be a juggernaut, an unstoppable force. Andrew Nimick, he's our recruiting insider, and you can hear him right here on The Fan tonight, 7 to 8 p.m., Direct Recruiting High School on SI, at Andrew Nimick on Twitter. I know you gotta be working late tonight, so thanks for getting up early with us this morning, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for the insights, and hopefully we'll do this again soon as we get a little bit closer to the Curtis commit date and the NFL draft.
Perfect. All right, thanks.
There you go. Andrew Nimick, our recruiting insider, will be on The Fan tonight, 7, 8 p.m. Did you know today's Daily Ticker, as always, fueled by Pelican Brewing's Beak Breaker IPA. With big hops, big flavor, and a crisp finish, Beak Breaker is the perfect way to stay refreshed through every bracket-busting upset. Boom goes the dynamite. Let's see here. I want to get to answer the poll question. We don't have a lot of time left in the show today. We got to turn and burn here in the next 28 minutes. We got to answer the poll. What are you more excited for today, Sweet 16 or Major League Baseball opening day? We got to make our hot picks. Who's going to win the World Series? Swigart's going to shock everybody, I'm sure, and not take the Los Angeles Dodgers to win the World Series. So all that's still to come. A little more Sweet 16 and Major League Baseball is up next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we talked about the bottom of the barrel earlier. The White Sox have the lowest over-under win total in Vegas in 35 years at 53.5. Your team's on the other side of this.
Yeah.
They have the highest over-under win total to start the year. I believe since 1999, the New York Yankees had a...
when they were winning...
Everything. 104.5 was the Yankees over under that year. The Dodgers this year is what, 103.5, I believe.
Yep.
And their odds to win the World Series at ESPN Bet as of Thursday morning.
Yes.
Are
not a lot of value there.
Not a lot of value there. They are a +275. Those are the lowest odds to win the World Series in terms of opening day. Since the Yankees in 2002, again, during that run, who were a +200 favorite on opening day to win the World Series. If you want to bet on the Dodgers to win the World Series, you're not going to make a lot of money doing it.
No.
Unless they have a really bad month or, you know, somebody gets hurt.
They come out of the blocks
slow
a little slow.
It's going to shift a little bit. That's like laying a bet right now on Scottie Scheffler to win the Masters. You're just not getting a lot of value. You need him to shoot an opening round 74 and then go on to win the Masters in order to get some value.
No, your value is right there on Rory is where your value is right now. I think he's like +600 or something.
Right, you find guy 3, 4, 5 on the list and maybe there's a little bit of value there. They are the only undefeated team in baseball. I have seen some of those funny graphics where you know, people have said undefeated teams in Major League Baseball, and the Cubs obviously not on it because they're 0-2, but everybody else is. They haven't played a game yet, so technically you haven't lost. A lot of people made White Sox jokes with those graphics of like, are we sure the White Sox haven't lost a game yet? Are we sure they haven't slipped up somewhere along the way? So before we close up and have some final thoughts on the Sweet 16 and answer the poll questions, without further ado, Jason Swigard, Go ahead, pick your stupid team to win the World Series.
The Dodgers will defeat the Orioles in the World Series.
Hold on, let me write this down so we can make fun of your dumb ass for being wrong. Who are they going to beat in the NLCS?
The Mets.
Okay, so you got Dodgers over Mets in the NLCS.
Yes.
And what's your ALCS?
The Orioles over the Red Sox.
Orioles over Red. Oh, you got an AL East?
Yes.
ALCS.
Yep.
Ooh, juicy. I like that. Okay, and then you got the Dodgers over
the Mets.
The Mets. And the World Series.
Oh, Dodgers over the Orioles.
Dodgers over the Orioles. Okay. Well, we'll wait for Sprague's picks tomorrow. Technically, he'll be cheating because he'll have one game of sample size.
Exactly.
More than
one,
us. So.
Well, three for the Dodgers.
Three for the Dodgers. I think we need to put a caveat on that. Maybe a bit of an asterisk, if you will. Shouldn't count what he ends up picking. You know, it's interesting this year. I look at the National League to me. Look, I'm not going to pick the Dodgers to win anything, okay? Screw your stupid team. I'm not picking them. It's not in my DNA.
You can't do it.
I can't physically do it. So then it comes the question of, well, then who the hell else is going to do it? Do I trust the Mets? Do I trust the aging Phillies?
The Braves?
The Braves, yeah. The Braves have, by the way, I think they're the second highest over-under win total. There's like a 10-game gap. Yeah. They're like 93.5. So they're about 10 games. They had the one run where they won the World Series, and I feel like every other year in the postseason they've done squat. They don't do anything. They get there, they lose.
Can they get Spencer Strider healthy?
And then he starts complaining about the format and the model and all that. Here's what I'm going to do. You ready for this?
You're gonna pick an AL team?
I might to win the World Series. I'm making this up as I go. I'm going to do this. In honor of friend of the show, not really, but he should have been a friend of the show, Bob Uecker passing away.
Oh.
R.I.P. to Bob Uecker. I'm taking the Brewers over the Dodgers in the NLCS. Right.
They have won the division 3 of the last 4 years.
Dude, they're in the playoffs every year. Yeah. Like, they're just there. At some point, they got to win, right?
Yeah.
At some point, they got to break through, I would think, maybe. Go Brewers. So that will be my NLCS matchup. The Red Sox love's getting a little too intense for me. There's a little too much of that going. It's too much of a trendy pick. I'm going to stay away from that. I do like your Orioles. So I'm going to go Orioles over Royals in the ALCS. How about that?
What do you think about that?
Orioles over Royals, and I will take the Orioles to beat the Brewers in the World Series. What do we think?
Ending a 30-some-odd year drought, I believe. Was it 83 with Cal Ripken Jr.?
I'm not feeling good about any of this, okay? The Orioles have been in the playoffs back-to-back years, and they haven't won a damn game, let alone a series. They've been swept out of the playoffs 2 consecutive years, so asking them to go on a run, the Brewers are just perennial chokers.
It's like, just because you haven't done it doesn't mean you're not prepared to do it.
That is a valid argument.
Yes.
They are the Xander Schauffele of Major League Baseball. Is that what you're telling me?
You will break through at some point.
Now's the time to break through. I can't wait. It's going to be fun all day. Major League Baseball is on. Opening day is here.
Those are good matchups on opening day. There's a couple that
really
you can skip over. But
there's a few that you just don't care about. Brewers and Yankees is a fun one to start with.
Orioles
and Blue Jays.
Blue Jays will
solid
be fun.
Game. Red Sox Rangers to me is interesting.
Yep.
You get to see Skeens in Miami. I'll take
Guardians
that.
Guardians at the Royals.
Hunter Green's an awesome watch for the Reds, who, by the way, now have Francona as their manager. How many people remember that from the offseason?
Yeah.
So the Giants are and Reds,
Mets
I'm obviously going to be watching. Yep, that's a solid game. Braves-Padres, maybe the game of the day.
Braves-Padres will be fun.
Maybe the game of the day. So, and then you get the A's and Mariners at the end of the night. I'm not going to be able to watch many Mariner games this year.
Don't have Root.
Nah, Root's not on YouTube TV.
There you go.
So I won't be able to enjoy all those 2-1 games. No runs being
scored. We'll have to see who's getting the final call late in the innings with Simsy not there now.
It will be interesting to see how that all breaks down.
Is that Goldsmith?
They've shuffled through their broadcasting chairs now.
Because Riz will do radio. I don't know. They used to kind of swap dudes back and forth, especially with Niehaus, because everybody wanted to hear Dave. So
yes.
Back in the day, they would like switch every 3 innings.
You'd jump around a little bit.
So I'll be curious to see how they go about doing that.
Well, there are our hot opening day predictions of who's going to win the World Series, the ALCS and the NLCS. Happy opening day, everybody. Good luck to your teams. I'm sure we're all going to freak out, win or lose, positive or negative, depending on what happens today. That's the best part about baseball. I can't wait for the freak out show the day after opening day tomorrow. Let's close up with a little more Sweet 16. We'll answer the poll question. Send you on your way on a Thursday next on The Fan. I'll be driving around today dreaming about what our opening day will look like when we get it down at Zidell Yards, hitting balls into the river. Man can dream. Hopefully someday there will be a day like this, Van Morrison, right, where it's our opening day.
It's our opening day.
We deserve it.
And I can introduce everybody to the bowl.
And I'll be doing the pregame show. Welcome in, everybody. What are you more excited for today? Very even split on this. Let's check the latest responses, see where the results are at right now. Currently sitting at 52.7% saying Sweet 16, 47.3% saying Major League Baseball opening day.
Yeah.
It's a very even split between the two
things.
I think
so. Different emotions involved.
Totally. One's ending a year, one's beginning a year. One's probably more fandom related because your baseball team's playing today, but the Sweet 16 is the Sweet 16, and maybe you got money on the line or you're in a bracket challenge, and maybe your team is still playing in college hoops. Mine is no longer playing, so that does suck a little bit of the enjoyment out of the tournament for me. Had Oregon been playing Duke today, my feelings about today would be much different about the Sweet 16. So not having the fandom angle in there does hurt a little bit. But I'm excited, man. I look at the four games tonight and the slate leading into tomorrow, and we'll obviously have time tomorrow to talk about the games. I'm probably, just as a collective whole, a little more interested in the four games tomorrow, if I'm going to be honest with you.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think the one seeds tomorrow.
Very well could.
Both those games could be blowouts. Kentucky-Tennessee, clearly the highlight tomorrow.
They are massive. Auburn and Houston are massive favorites, the same way Duke is a massive favorite against Arizona
today. Yeah, that's up to 10 points. I'm taking the 10 points.
The line
I don't
keeps
know
going
if Arizona
up and up and up.
Beats them, but I'm taking that. I think your best chance for a blowout is Florida. That line's gone to 6.5. The BYU line is coming down. It's now 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at the A-Lin-A lines, by the way.
Yeah.
I think your best bet for a buzzer-beating finish, though, is Arkansas-Texas Tech, and I think that's just the styles. I think that's going to be a grinded-out defenses.
That's the last game of the night.
That's the last game of the night. I think your best. I think Texas Tech though finds a way to win that ugly. I think your best bet for an upset is BYU beating Alabama.
You know, it's one of those reminders too of like, can you imagine being on the East Coast and having that be a 10:09 tip off?
Yes, I don't know how they do it back there.
I don't know how you survive. I don't understand it, man. Look, I love that we give, you know, preferential treatment here to us on the West Coast.
I mean, it's nice you can go
do
a full day of work, and sports doesn't start for the most part until you get home.
But, man, that is so 10:09 for that last. If you're an Arkansas fan, that game doesn't tip until 10:09.
Yeah, I know.
That's insanity.
I still maintain the Mountain time zone is the best time zone for a sports fan.
Yeah, West isn't bad, man. I'll take
West
early,
isn't bad.
Earlier
I'll take
the better.
Earlier than later, but some of the other sports that start way early in the morning, like when there's an East Coast golf tournament, it tees off at 5, whatever. Most people aren't up like we are.
Yeah, very true. We get to watch it because we're up early. Hopefully the games live up to the hype, man. There hasn't been that great of a tournament, I would argue, in terms of quality of games, but
no,
the ratings have been incredible.
True buzzer beater. We've had a couple of games come down to final possessions, but
that's why I was so surprised with the ratings being so strong. Is that if it's one thing if you get like Thursday's, oh my God, 5 buzzer beaters on Thursday and it just gets all this buzz. Really hasn't been that good, but a lot of chalk. People are watching. People are fired up. So Sweet 16 starts 4:09. BYU Alabama goes through the night. We'll talk about all of it. Enjoy opening day, everybody. Merry Christmas to the baseball fans out there. Hopefully your team gets a win today. I can't wait for the freakout or the celebration of championships tomorrow on the show. Whether your team wins or loses opening day, we all know that dictates how the next 161 goes, so can't wait for that. Thanks again to Tony Gwynn Jr. and Andrew Nimick for hopping on the show today. You can go catch those 1080thefan.com at Durton Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. That will do it for us. Thanks so much for being a part of our Thursday. Like the video on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.